Hey guys, and welcome to episode 3 of In the Game with Jace Back. Let's see, what did we do this week? Actually, I missed last week. So I'm going to go over a little bit of what happened last week, and then we'll get into what happened this week on my gaming sessions. So last week we had the Almighty crashing down. It was shot down by Rasputin. And Destiny Bungie, the publishing company for Destiny, they did their first live event in the like style of like Fortnite. And it's kind of hard to say how it went. It went well, except it had its downfalls, such as taking an hour and a half, 90 minutes, in order to complete. So I got on to watch it, and then I waited till an hour and 10 minutes, and then I was like, I gotta go to work. So I didn't actually get to watch it live, which kind of stunk. But with so many people watching, you had quite a bit of videos on YouTube that showed what happened, and they sped it up. And it turned out really good. I thought it turned out really well, except for it being too long. But other than that, I didn't really have any issues. I thought it was a really cool event. It was neat seeing that in Destiny, and I hope that we get to see more events like that. So then the season ended, and we got our reveal for the next expansion for Destiny in September, which is going to be Beyond Light. So I think we're getting the darkness. Oh my god, excuse me, I'm so sorry. Getting darkness powers. They call it symbiote or stasis. It's called stasis. So that's gonna be kind of neat, and we'll just have to wait and see how that is. But that's going to be in September. So right now we actually started a new season. It's called the Season of Arrivals. Basically the darkness, the Dorito ships, they showed up and they're here. We're ready for them. they showed up on Io, so we have like contact event, public events, which are pretty cool. Basically it's like Gambit without the PvP. You destroy enemies, you get motes, deposit them, you deposit enough motes, get a boss, defeat the boss, go to the next round, 4 rounds, then a mega boss, defeat it, becomes, or when you bank 4 rounds of motes and defeat the bosses between the first 3, it becomes heroic, and then you have like a mega boss, quote unquote mega boss. And that's how you complete the new contact event. But we have a lot more like lore type stuff that's come out with this, which is pretty nice, you know. And yeah, I haven't played any Forza this week or last week, really. I've just been really into Destiny, like massively into Destiny. I haven't really played any other games. So my goal for right now is like, oh, I totally forgot. Oh my gosh, I completely like ran right over this. So Season of Arrival started last Tuesday. On the 9th. Okay. So from the 9th to the 15th, they had in the game, they had a mode where you could just like farm engrams. And there was a bug that allowed the armor engrams to be like pinnacle or powerful pinnacle. Nope, they were powerful because they wouldn't go over 1050. So basically you can farm it, an AFK farm. A lot of people were upset, a lot of people weren't. It was in the game, so why not? But they fixed it within a week. Can't fix cheating in the game, but hey, we're gonna make sure you can't farm anything. Because why would you want to play the game how you want to play it? But that's cool. I got 1050. I'm happy. I farmed. I'm not gonna deny it. I farmed as long as I could and got what I wanted. And now I am currently sitting at 1057 on my hunter. And yeah, 1057 on my Titan and 1057.7 on my hunter. Or actually 0.8 on my hunter. So still pretty good. I'm liking it. Might as well enjoy everything. They also added a new dungeon, which one of my buddies, Willie, he soloed it. He's actually in the process of putting his video up on YouTube. And that will be pretty neat. As soon as I get that, I will definitely be putting that information out there. And so that people can watch it. Because he soloed it within the first week. And that's like crazy. That's so cool and crazy, man. He did awesome. He stuck with it. It took him a long time. I don't know exactly how many hours, but I know it took him over 12. Or 11 to 12 hours. So that's impressive. I'm impressed. He did a great job. So my goal in PvP is I've been using a bow. And I want to get 100 bow kills. Preferably by the end of the week. Right now I'm sitting at 42. So I got some bow kills to get, which would be, you know, we'll just see how it goes. let's see. What else? I haven't even, so in order for me to get the bow kills and stuff, I'm going to have to set up a like armor set, and I haven't done that yet, but I need to, and I'll probably work on that tomorrow, you know, just so that I can make it a little easier on myself. I think that's all gaming related. Cyberpunk 2077, they pushed back that from I think September to November. So that kind of stinks, but that game looks really cool. But I will still be playing Destiny. I'm almost positive. I don't think I'm going to be getting away from Destiny. I already went ahead and got the deluxe version of Beyond Light. So there's that. And that would be it for this gaming portion. And I will be right back with some more. Alright, so now we're going to get into some of the personal things that happened this week. I went to the gym, so I'm still working on that. I went to the gym for the first time in like, I don't know, it's been like 2-3 months maybe, and it was good. It's not as scary as everybody like kind of makes it out to be, you know? Me and my wife went to Planet Fitness to work out, and everything, they try to make everything as touchless as possible. So you go in, you have your ID, you scan it by yourself, and they, you know, get you in. Next, they move, they have like the little shields, so like you're blocked off from the workers. Then you go over to the like treadmills. Is right now, so whenever I decide to start working out and going back to the gym and stuff, I usually try to ease my way back in. I don't want to just go in, have like a 2-3 hour workout session, and then be just like, oh, I'm done. I've done this. I don't need any more, you know. So what I usually try to do is I start going back and back, doing the treadmill. And so we were on the treadmill for like 30 minutes, and then that was it. It was It was nice. Go in. Every other machine is turned off. So they have everybody social distanced. And because that's still going on, which I was reading today that the Texas governor was blaming the younger citizens of the for the increasing in Texas Governor Greg Abbott criticized for blaming younger residents for the COVID-19 spread. just that right there is like, what? That's insane. Like, how can you blame just the younger people? You know, but it's going to happen when you're reopening. You're going to have another, you're going to have like a slight resurgence, or you're going to have the case numbers are going to continue going up. They're going to. You have more people being tested, and two, instead of everybody being locked away indoors, they're getting out more, you know? So it's going to happen. And it's just a fact of life, and we're going to have to go for it, you know? But eventually we'll be back to normal. I think they were talking about baseball coming back maybe in July. But then you have, oh man, it's such a weird like time right now with everything going on. So you have more protest, you have coronavirus, and it's just, it's hard to find like what is good going on, you know, but you know, everybody knows there is good going on. There are multiple people that are trying to help during these crises, and they're trying to make sure that people are not forgetting that this is still a thing. Because if you go and look at like any of the people that are protesting and stuff, any of the massive groups of people, it's not required for you to wear a mask. Like, and people are like trying to push that as, oh, that's against my rights. You're you know, stifling my rights by making me wear a mask. And it's not that. It's like, you wear a mask to be like courtesy of others, because most of the masks that people are wearing, they're not to protect from everything. It's to protect others from you. Like, you are keeping your water droplets with you. And instead of blowing them into the air for everybody to breathe and see. But enough about that. Trying to transition to the, I'm still working on my transitions. And this sounds weird, like, ooh, and then we had this, you know. Oh my gosh, I am blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so I was watching YouTube, and with my wife, of course, and we were watching Cinema Toastkin, and he did, him and Buff Pro did personality test. So I was like, oh, you know what? I would like to do one. I'm going to do it. So I did. I went to a website, not sponsored, 16personalities.com, did their little test, and I came out. So basically, it's a Briggs-Myers personality test, and it measures like your... it measures like your personality traits. So after finishing the test, I got my personality trait was an ENFJ. So that's an extroverted, intuitive, feeling and judging personality traits. So according to 16 personalities, I am the protagonist. And basically, it says that protagonists are natural born leaders, full of passion and charisma, forming around 2% of the population. They're oftentimes our politicians, our coaches, and teachers, reaching out and inspiring others to achieve and do good in the world. Like, I look at this, I'm like, okay, I can see some of it. But I don't know, like, I never really felt that I never feel like I like inspired people to do stuff. I like to help people, and that's one of the things they say. So according to this, my strengths and weaknesses are I'm tolerant, which I can see that. I'm tolerant of just about everybody. I usually try to see like what everyone's about. Like if I go somewhere, okay. So for example, like if I go to like a security call or whatever, like when I'm at work, my first thing is to look. What is going on? How can I see it from this person? You know, the person that is the issue, or like I try to look at it that way. Like, what is going on? So that, I guess that kind of makes me more tolerant of other people. But, you know, like I also, that also kind of helps me see where, like they're coming from, you know what I mean? And with doing that, I think a lot of times it like helps me get in the mindset of how can I fix this? How can I move this around? What can I do to get this person or people to do what I need them to, you know? Because if I see it from their perspective and I like do like putting myself in their shoes, I guess, then it lets me understand more on how, or not really how, but like why they're acting the way they're acting. And then I can counteract that with, hey, you know, like, let's say, you know, a person is upset because they didn't like what the food. I can't even think of like an example right now, but like, I can see it from like another person's point of view, you know. And I think that does make me like a tolerant person. So that pulls into one of my strengths, according to this personality test. Another thing is it says I'm reliable. One of my pet peeves, being let down or letting somebody down. Not really someone letting me down, but me letting somebody down. I don't like that. That's gotta be a pet peeve. I always want to make sure that I'm doing, like, that I'm there. You know, like, if I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. You know? So, a couple other things is it says that they're charismatic, altruistic. And I actually don't know. I didn't know what altruistic meant. So I had to look it up. It's the belief in or practice of disinterested or selfless concern for the well-being of others. So that's such a weird. So it's like you're believing that no matter what, you have a concern for the well-being of others. I definitely feel that way because I like to make sure that I like to make sure that people are taken care of. And I always, when I was younger and I would like think about like, what kind of person am I? I always picture myself as like a protector in a way. Like, I'm here to protect somebody. Maybe that sounds like arrogant or something, but I mean, I always felt like I'm supposed to make sure that people around me are pulled together, you know? And I always kind of felt that way. Like, even when I was younger, like, I never, okay. So when I was younger, my mom was like in and out of jail. And for me, I would live with like my grandma, my uncle, my aunt, my cousins, my grandma. I would always bounce around, you know? And even though like, you know, maybe this person in my family wasn't really getting along with the other person in my family. The only thing that really, to me, this is completely like how I felt. I kind of felt like I was like the glue that kept the family talking or together. So there was one time. So my grandparents had four kids. Two boys, or they had five, but two boys, three girls. One of the girls passed away when she's either born or like really, really young, like not even a year old, I believe. But the boys were 10 years older than the girls. So obviously there's that big age difference. So what happened is like, as they grew up, like everybody kind of split up, but then I like knew everybody, I was never not wanted in my family. I was always felt like I was wanted. And I really, really think that helped me grow as a person because I always had that feeling of being wanted. So I didn't ever like get into like, you know, like bad thing, like not bad. Like, I never got into like, you know, drugs or like stuff like that. So, and I definitely put that on my family always making me feel that I was worth it. Because there's plenty of times that I've felt like I didn't, you know, like if my mom like was in jail or like, you know, I didn't understand when I was younger that my mom was doing bad. I just looked at it as my mom didn't want to be around me, but my grandma did, or my aunt did, or my cousins did, you know. So I always had somebody that was like that replacement, you know? So fast forward, like, so that was when I was like really, really young. Fast forward to when I was working my first like major job, when I was working at the ballpark. My cousins from the part of my family that kind of split, everybody kind of split. And so I saw them. I was like, hey, man, those people really, really look familiar. And so I just went over to him. I was like, hey, I know you. And it turned out it was my cousins. And then after that, we had like a family reunion, which is kind of cool, you know, and kind of got back with some of my cousins that I had like grown away from. And I thought that was pretty, pretty cool, you know, but it didn't always like keep up. It's kind of hard. I mean, it's easier to keep up nowadays because you have like social media and Facebook and this and that, but I don't know. Everybody kind of does their own thing. You know, everybody has their own little family. But all right, moving on. So weaknesses. Oof, gotta love that. Overly idealistic. I definitely understand this. So it says people with protagonist personality type can be caught off guard as they find that through circumstance or nature or simple misunderstanding, people fight against them and defy principles they've adopted, however well-intentioned they may be. They're more likely to feel pity for this opposition than anger, and can earn the reputation of naivety. Too selfless. Yeah, I can see that. Bearing themselves in the hopeful promises, feelings, others' problems as their own, and striving hard to meet their word. If they aren't careful, they can spread themselves too thin and be left unable to help anybody. I definitely do see that. I like, what can I do to fix their problem or whatever? Too sensitive? I don't think I'm too sensitive. This sentence right here, protagonists sometimes feel problems that aren't their own and try to fix things they can't, worrying that if they're doing enough. I can see that. Fluctuating self-esteem. Oh man, sometimes I feel like, man, I'm on top of the world, this is awesome. You know, and other times I'm just like, what? No, I can't do that. But I definitely can see. I definitely see the fluctuating self-esteem quite a bit in life. I definitely do. I don't see this other one. It says struggle to make tough decisions. I guess sometimes, not like all the time. There have been times in my life where like I've needed to get rid of somebody. Not like, that sounds so bad. I had somebody who was very destructive towards me, and I need to like cut ties with this person, but like they're still like a person, and it was like really hard, but eventually it worked out, and I split ties with that person, and I didn't have to like, I just kind of cut them off, you know, and I was done with it. Oh man. So another website going along with this ENFJ says that they're a teacher. They have the ability to see potential in other people and the charisma in persuading others to their ideas. I can, I mean, I've tried to help push people to do things that they were like wanting to do, but like didn't think that they could. I think I've done that. I feel like I've done that. Sorry. And I just, so one big thing, I've never seen myself as like an extroverted person. Like, I've always seen myself as a introvert. I've always seen myself in a way that, like, I've always seen more of, like, my own, like, keep to myself. But I mean, it's like, I don't know, this thing's, I don't know, maybe, I wonder if like, maybe as you grow, okay, because I used to be really extroverted when I was younger. Like, I would just go up and just talk to anybody, no issue whatsoever. Now I am way more reserved before I talk to people. So I just wonder if like, I'm sure that your like personality changes as you, like, grow. But what does that, I mean, I think that's how, I would think that it would. Because, like, you, I mean, I'm going to have to look more into it to see. But I definitely see myself as, like, changing. You know, and I don't know if I've always been like, I've always felt like when I was, like I said, when I was younger, I was always, I felt like I was more extroverted than I am now. But when I took the test, it said I was 46 and 54. So I was 46% introverted and 54% extroverted. So I'm like right on the cusp of both, you know. So I can definitely see that. Another crazy thing about this is the ENFJ is one of the rarest of the 16 types, comprising of only about 2-3% of the population, which that's pretty cool. So I'm like a rare breed. See, that's that self-esteem thing. Like, I'm like, yeah, got it. Yeah, this is cool. But I mean, this is pretty neat. Like, if you definitely want to try and see this for yourself, you can definitely just go to Google, type in personality test, and like I said, the one that I took was 16 personalities. I did it. It takes like 10, 12 minutes. Gives you a look into yourself. And it's pretty cool. So yeah, that was my week. I learned about myself. I went to the gym. Not getting on the scale, but we'll see how we go. And I want to say thank you for checking out the podcast, letting me spend time talking to you. And if you want to, you can send me messages. I will put a link in the description of this episode. And if you want to send me a message, you know, something you want me to talk about for next time, definitely click the link, send a message. I think you have to have an Anchor account. But yeah, thank you again. I really do appreciate y'all for coming out and listening. And I'm going to catch y'all next time. Be good to each other. Bye.